The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4 and starting on verse 7, and that's page 1175 of the Church Bibles. So Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Eileen. Well, please do keep your Bibles open there. It'll help us as we think about what God is telling us this morning. But as ever, we need his help, don't we? So let's pray and ask him to help us. Father God, we thank you for your goodness in giving us your word so we can hear you speak to us. And Father, as we look at it together now, Father, give us ears to hear, hearts which are ready to receive from you. And may you be growing us and building us up because of what you tell us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you've noticed that we're going to be thinking about growth this morning. But how do things grow? So let's have a look at the first one. How does a plant grow? What do we need for a plant to grow? Yes, Paul.
Sun, water, and soil.
Sun, water, and soil. Very good. Anyone else want to add anything else? That pretty much covers it. No? Brilliant. That's what plants need to grow. Let's have the next one. What do children need to grow? Chocolate. Go on, what do children need to grow, Sam? Food and water, those are the essentials. Anything else for children to grow healthily? Love as well. But yes, those are the things that they need. Now, what about the next one? A church. Actually, that's not a church. That's a church. It's the people, isn't it? It's not the building. But how does a church grow? Don't worry, not hands up for this one. Right? Yeah, I mean, and what's important to help a church grow? And we've just got someone else here, Felix, if you just want to welcome, that'd be great. Now, there's lots of different ideas out there. Yeah, I mean, some churches think, actually, to grow, we need to have the latest music and to be sort of be trendy like that. But often, a church which does that only attracts one sort of person and actually becomes less healthy. Some churches think, to be a growing church, you need a trendy pastor. Now, if that's the case, you've got no hope, you lot. But seriously, a dynamic leader is what some churches think you really need to make a church grow. Or how about a warm welcome? Now, when a warm welcome is missing, it can really put the brakes on growth. Of course it can. But a warm welcome doesn't make a church grow. So what does cause growth? Or more importantly, what does God say we need for a church to grow? And that's an important question for any church. But for us here at Cornerstone, it's hugely important because we're a relatively small new church. And we've got to think, God, how are we going to grow? But it's also important to remember that God, as we've been looking in Ephesians, has a cosmic plan. He's got a cosmic plan to unite everything under Jesus. And part of that plan is to see his church grow. So we think church growth is important. Actually, Father God thinks it's even more important. So let's see this in Ephesians and our first point today. And the first thing is very simply, Jesus wants his church to grow. Now, we heard earlier some of the things that children are looking forward to when they grow up, not being bossed around by the parents, being rich apparently, and a whole bunch of things. Well, let's see the reason why God wants his church to grow up. And please look with me. We're going to be flicking around the passage a bit. Please look with me at chapter 4 and verse 12. He gives the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. God wants his church to be built up, to be strengthened. And this isn't talking about getting bigger muscles on your arms or your legs. This is about spiritual muscles. So we're stronger in prayer. So instead of praying just once a day, we turn to God in prayer at lots of points during the day. You know what I mean? You're about to go into a mass lesson. Oh, it's a really hard lesson. Father God, just help me to concentrate and get through this mass lesson to learn something. Or perhaps you're meeting up with somebody and you know actually they're quite a difficult person. You're about to meet up. Father God, help me to show grace and be patient in this with this individual. Or you've perhaps just seen something awful on TV, on the news. Father God, please be in this terrible situation. I mean, God wants to strengthen us individually, but actually here the focus is on the church. So as a church, we become more and more prayerful together, strengthened together. See, Jesus wants his church to grow up. What about verse 13? Chapter 4 and verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. To grow in unity in Jesus. I mean, some churches can be united around Jesus, but that unity is fragile. It would only need a spark, and that unity would come crashing down. But then in other churches, that unity is really solid, grounded in the faith, grounded in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm so thankful that here at Cornerstone, our unity here is closer to the solid end of the spectrum. It's such a blessing. But we can still grow even more in our unity. Jesus wants his church to grow up. And there are other great ways that Jesus wants us to grow up here, but I've only got time to mention one more, and that's in verse 14. Chapter 4 and verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Jesus wants us to grow up so we're not tossed around in a storm. You know what I mean? If you're in a bath, you might be a rubber duck out or a little toy boat. I can tell Jill has a rubber duck, you can tell. Right? But if you're in the bath and if you start to move around, it causes a bit of a wave, doesn't it? And if you move around and more and more and more in the bath, what happens? The waves get bigger in the bath and the rubber duck or the boat turns and tips over. Well, God wants us to grow up so we're not swayed by every new Christian fad or celebratory preacher. God helps us to stand together as his people, even as the waves of the world batter us against us. Jesus wants us to grow up. And did you notice the one thing that Jesus doesn't talk about in terms of growth here? He doesn't actually mention numbers once. There isn't a word here about a small church becoming a big church. And often when Christians think about growth, that is our primary way of thinking. How big is the church that we belong to? But God doesn't even mention it here. Now, we've got to be careful here. God is massively into calling people into his kingdom, but calling people to become Christians. And therefore, a church should be growing numerically. It's good for churches to grow numerically. And I pray that God would grow us here at Cornerstone. But numerical growth can so easily become the number one focus. When God's growth focus is being built up, knowing Jesus better, maturity, steadfastness. Jesus wants us to grow, grow, grow. But how does this growth often happen? I've got a slide, Jacob. Oh, you can't read that very much, but well, but there we go. How does this growth often happen? Well, I've got a little visual aid for this next bit. So I've got some soil, right? Good place for things to grow. And I've got the church. Here we go. There we go, we've got the church there, ready to grow. Wanting to grow in the things that we've just been hearing about. But then how does God grow the church? And the first one I want us to notice is in verse 15. Please look with me at chapter 4 and verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth of God's word. It's also there in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These are different gifts, but they're all gifts which are focused around God's word, speaking God's word, speaking God's truth, the Bible. So when a church wants to grow, it's God's plan to have this book at the very centre. It's one of the reasons why here at Cornerstone, we work hard to listen to God from his word. It's not just because it's our preference. It's because we want to grow as God intends us to grow. So we're going to plant the Bible in our soil of growth. So a child is going to come and scrunch it up and plant it in the earth. Who's going to do that? Poppy, you going to come and help me? Come on then. Come on. Scrunch up the seed to help them grow. Scrunch it up. Scrunch it up. There we go. There we are. Pop it in. Brilliant. So that's really important. You need the Bible and help them grow. Well, great. Thank you. Right. Well, there's others as well. Please, let's just go back to verse 11 again. Chapter 4 and verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. God's plan for growth includes the Bible, but it's not just the Bible. It needs to be taught. Pastors teaching the Bible to equip God's people. Now, it's really clear elsewhere in the Bible that individual Christians can read the Bible and be understood by themselves, and God wants that to happen. But at the same time, you may have noticed, it's a big book. There are some complicated bits and hard bits in it, and there's some real depth to it. And that shouldn't be surprising, because it is God speaking. And God knows that, and he says, I want to help my church, I want to help my people, and one of the ways I do that is to equip some Christians to be pastors and ministers to help us get into God's word together. We need pastors to teach God's word, to equip God's people so that they grow. So, who's going to come and plant the pastor? Another teacher said, do you want to come and do it? Come on then, can you scrunch that up? Can you, God, scrunch it up? Can you make it really small? God, scrunch it up. Let's do it together. Here we go. Got it? Right, very good. Let me just dig a little hole. It's a good job I made this small enough to move, isn't it? There you go. Oh, that's it. Go on then. Pop the seed in. Can you pop the paper in? Yes. There we go. There we are. Brilliant. Except at this point, I'm a popular with the parents, because the child now has dirty hands.
Brilliant.
Sorry, there you go, Abby. Yeah, put it in your hair. Put it in your dad's hair. That's even better. Great. So God wants the church to grow. We need the Bible. We need the pastor. But next, verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, it talks about speaking the truth in love here, but this isn't actually just talking about the pastor. This is talking about the whole church. It works like this. God gives us the Bible. We read it for ourselves. The pastor also has a special responsibility to teach it. But then all of us, all of God's people, have a responsibility to speak the truth to each other, to speak God's word to each other. You see, it's not just my job to talk about Jesus here at Cornerstone. It's the job of every Christian to speak to each other about Jesus, all of us. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, do I need to have a sermon in my back pocket? Nope, to whip out over coffee. But speaking the truth to each other might include telling them, perhaps after church, after coffee, chatting to someone about what surprised you about how God grows the church today, or what encouraged you, or perhaps what even challenged you. It might be, actually, I didn't understand that bit, because actually, because it's an all-age service, I don't have time to look at all the verses today. You might be thinking, what's that verse on about? Ask somebody, talk to each other, speak the truth to each other. Now, I know this already happens at Cornerstone, which is great, but there's always room for more. Why? Because God has a plan to grow his church, to grow each other. So who's going to come and do this one? So each other, who's going to come and, you've already done one. Sam, are you going to come and do one? I'm not sure the teenagers are overly keen. Oh, so a young man here?
Yes.
Well, would you like to? No, no. Come on, Sam. Come on, give it a scrunch up. Here we go. Pop it in, fella. Cool. Thank you very much. Right, one last one. Now, I am going to pick on one of the teenagers back there, so are you ready? One of you is going to be gird your loins, as they say. Right, and then lastly, verse 15, again. Chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. When the truth is spoken, it is spoken with love. Now, I guess most of us have had somebody telling us something true at some point, but as they told you, love is a million miles away from the way they've told you. I mean, you might be in the car. Oh, you cut me up! It's probably true. Someone probably did cut you up. But it wasn't spoken in love. But actually, verse 15 isn't talking about car driving. It's talking about us talking about Jesus to each other. Truth in love. And if we speak truth, but have no love, as we do so, speak about it, it's not of God. But it's also the reverse is true. If you have lots of love, but never speak the truth, that's not of God either. And therefore, we need love to be planted as well, if the church is going to grow. So, oh, Jacob has volunteered bravely. You can see he's doing it with such grace as well. To grow, we need truth spoken in love. And we need them all. Pastor and each other speaking the Bible in love. If you lose one, your growth either gets stunted or it gets wonky. So as we close, which part of God's plan for growth do you personally need to get on board with yourself? It might be recognizing that the Bible is key. You know, it's not trendy to have your nose stuck in this book, as far as our world is concerned. But God's wisdom always beats the latest fad, hands down. It might be thinking, I just need to get to church more regularly so I can hear the preacher, so I can hear the minister speak God's word, and so we can hear it together. It might be that light bulb moment of thinking, we just need to gossip God's word to each other. And if it's something you're not in the habit of doing, it can feel a bit weird. I mean, we're used to chatting to each other about the football and our week and things like that. But actually, starting to talk about Jesus as part of those conversations, it can feel a bit strange. And it's not about spiritual showing off. It's not about going, hey, look how much I know. It's just sharing like what struck you from the Bible from the sermon or even in your Bible reading that week. You know, we can still talk about the things of week, tennis or whatever it happens to be, but let's intentionally talk about God's word together as well. And remember, this is all for growth. God wants us to grow spiritually. Do we want this? To know God better, to be assured of his love for us, to know that God is with you every step of the way, to know that everlasting life is yours as we trust in Jesus. Not some vague hope, but real and certain. Do we want to grow? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you once again that you tell us what we need to know, Father. Thank you that you tell us the essentials to grow your church. Father, thank you that you do want us to grow up, to be more certain and assured in our faith day by day. And Father, we ask that you'll help us to put these things into practice. Thank you for the ways that you already have helped us to do that, but we don't think we've got it done perfectly because we know we haven't. So help us to plant these seeds of growth deep within our lives individually and as a church family, so we can grow to bring you and your Son much glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.